This is a download from BFM 89.9. The business station.
Yeah, now going into more global markets, we speak to Han Tan, market analyst at FXTM. Han, thank you for joining us on the line this morning. Now, Asian equity markets continue to be volatile. What will it take for equities to re-rate in this region?
Yeah, look, we are seeing futures of the Nikkei and the Hang Seng now in the red. U.S. futures now down as well, despite recent gains, right? Look, you know, I think we need to see firm signs that the outbreak has passed and that the depth and duration of the expected global recession is perhaps not as bad as feared. Because I think what we're seeing of late, especially the gains, you know, that's a sign of confidence around health policies, around the support that's coming from the fiscal and monetary side. But then it's the other end of the equation, you know, that is still a big question mark there, right? You know, like how much or what is the eventual economic toll that will be exerted from COVID-19? And then if you take a step back, you know, you keep in mind the MSCI Asia Pacific index is still in a bear market, still down by over 20% compared to its year-to-date high that was set on January 20th, still about 27% lower from its all-time high that was set back in January 2018. And then also you look at the S&P 500, it just formed a death cross. So that's from a technical perspective. You know, so from a fundamental perspective, with a global recession being the base case now, you know, again, we still don't have a clear picture as to when we'll come out on the other side. So I think that decoupling in terms of where valuations are and where earnings are headed, you know, I think that's going to be the big question mark here. And once that's reconciled, then we could see that re-rating then.
Speaking about currencies, the ringgit and other regional currencies are trading at lows against the dollar. Do their current levels reflect fair value?
Well, I think right now we have seen some adjustment from oversold levels recently. Look, when it comes to hard value, it's really hard to put a pin on that because, you know, again, given the uncertainty about what the economic trajectory will be like. But if you look at, say, the MSCI Asian Currencies Index that excludes the Japanese yen, it actually advanced in 5 out of the last 6 trading days, gaining over 1% during that time. But overall, Asian currencies are likely to remain depressed, given the concerns again surrounding that global recession. So that's why we're seeing all this aggressive monetary policy easing, that neutral stance for the Singapore dollar. Yes, there's a lot of support from the fiscal side around the region. I mean, but there's even talk about quantitative easing for the likes of Thailand. All right, so all that is being priced into Asian currencies, while the dollar safe haven status, you know, that's also adding to the pressures as well.
Yeah, Han, what do your charts tell you about the direction of oil prices and the impasse between the Saudis and the Russians?
Yeah, okay. So I think from the fundamental perspective, right, you've got that OPEC Plus deal that expired yesterday. So you've got this risk of all these major producers flooding the markets starting today at a time when there's just been demand destruction, right? So looking at my charts, actually from a couple of weeks back, I've been telling the international media that we have to consider $20 Brent. And we got really close. We got to about the $21 handle right now, recently, but now it's about 26 or so. But, you know, from that fundamental perspective, it's again, cheap supplies from Russia, from Saudi Arabia, although that is having the inverse effect of perhaps putting some pressure on U.S. shale there. If you look at the state of Texas alone, they've got the most number of rigs in the U.S., and they are already having 25% of their rigs shut down if you look at a year-on-year period, okay? So, you know, again, I think it's I think from a technical perspective, you know, we are easily going to see Brent remain or languish below this $30 a barrel psychological level until there's some supply side intervention to just try and balance out what the demand side is showing us, though.
Well, you mentioned shale. What is your sense of the contango situation that is brewing in America, with Mizuho's Paul Sankey saying that we're 10 weeks away from hitting the ceiling?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Because at the same time, though, Chuang, what's fascinating is if you look at the shale complex, right? You've even got planes and tankers, all these storage guys, who are actually now forcing the producers to cut back on production. Why? Because they've just run out of room. So even if they keep producing, they've got nowhere to store it. So I think, yeah, contango. You know, I agree. It's got a few weeks. I mean, more legs to run, but at the same time, I think the physical infrastructure just cannot keep up as well. So, you know, we should be able to find that bottom for U.S. crude here, you know, I think over the next few sessions. Granted, it's dipped below that $20 psychological barrel, this or WTI here, you know, in a couple of sessions over this past week. But yeah, again, I think the main point is that I think the physical infrastructure just cannot keep up if U.S. shale just keeps producing at the pace they've been going at.
Donald Trump says he will be speaking with Putin to talk about the oil situation. Are you optimistic that anything will come out of that, anything positive for the oil market?
Well, it's tough, right? Because I'm thinking about it. This is an election year, and low oil prices stands to feed well into the election narrative, right? Now he could play savior, and then you know maybe do a favor for again the state of Texas and this other oil industries by bringing the U.S. to the negotiating table, and you know make sure that Russia and Saudi Arabia bashes out a deal here, but. We have seen how Trump's previous interventions with OPEC has worked relatively well, especially on Saudi Arabia. But, you know, I think in this case, it might be politically sensitive to actually try and do anything that raises gas prices at the pumps, you know, especially that, considering that, you know, we're only a few months out from the November polls.
All right, Han, let's move over to China for a bit. China's March manufacturing PMI of 52 beat expectations compared to a record low of 35.7 in February. What assumptions can we draw from this? And is it too early to say that China's economy is on the road to recovery?
Yeah, look, it's still too early to speak of a recovery there, Roshan. Even China's Statistics Bureau, even they cautioned as much as well. Because keep in mind, the base is from February, right? And February, we saw the record low for that print. So talk about a really low base effect there. And also keep in mind, there are second-round effects to consider as well. And this ties back into the question on Asian currencies that Noel mentioned earlier as well, right? These second-round effects, because with the U.S. and Europe being shut down, and if this global recession is prolonged, you know, then who would China or, and by extension, manufacturing Asia be producing for, or who would they be exporting to, right? So, and keep in mind, domestic demand, even though it's supported by all these economic rescue packages around the region, well, they will still need time to recover. So we're thinking about 2 quarters there. So 1 month does not a trend make, as the saying goes. Look, if we can see a string of PMIs staying consistently above 50, which marks the expansion, right, then only we can truly say that it's on the road to recovery. But I wouldn't read too much into just one single print.
Yes, the numbers have beaten expectations. And could this be a result of some double counting, you know, because due to all these lockdowns and shortages, customers could be placing double orders in order to secure their supplies?
Yeah, you know, look, potentially, but again, I think the key reason here is from this really low base effect, right? Now we've got the Kaizen manufacturing PMI coming out. Sorry, today is Wednesday, right? my mind's in a lockdown mode here, but it's coming out soon as well. So we'll compare that PMI print that's coming out soon with the previous PMI that came out recently, and then also stack it up against the region, and we'll kind of go from there. But again, I think the main point is that we wouldn't be looking too much into just this one print. I think the forecast for the Kaizen reading is still in 45. Granted, it's a rebound, but it's still below 50. So that's what we're looking out for over the immediate term.
All right, Han, thank you so much for joining us on the line this morning. That was Han Tan, market analyst with FXTM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.